Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And it's a gorgeous day today here in Western Washington. Hi, Eric.
Hey, good afternoon, Julie. It is a fantastic and beautiful day here
sunny
in Western Washington.
Cold. It's a good fall day.
A very crisp autumnal afternoon.
Yes. And we have a wonderful guest on the show today. We have Major Brian Dennis on the show. He's been getting quite a bit of publicity and media exposure lately with his story about his dog Nubs, the true story of a mutt, a Marine, and a miracle. And it is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, this is a great story. I read up a little bit about this earlier in the week, and I'm looking forward to hearing this conversation.
Oh, it's just incredible. It's if you've ever seen that old movie, The Incredible Journey, it's sort of similar to that. And so we're going to have him on the show. We're going to bring him on in just a minute here. So we're going to get to talk to him about his experience finding this dog.
And perfect for Veterans Day.
It is. Nubs is, I guess, actually a dog veteran.
Yeah, he's kind of a dog veteran.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
Because he was, I'm going to ask Brian about this on the show, but that I guess Nubs was a dog of war. So I'll ask him a little bit more about what that means, but doggy veterans too. So let's not wait any longer and let's bring him on and get started with the interview. Hi, Brian.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. It's great to have you on the show.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
So you are you're in San Diego?
That's right. I'm stationed at Miramar, San Diego, California.
Mm-hmm. And you have, we got your book, actually a copy of the book before it was actually finished, but it looks like it's a book that's written for children.
Yeah, it's primarily wanted to tell the story to children, but it's really, I guess the overwhelming response I've gotten from people is it's just for dog lovers. I guess anyone who loves dogs usually ends up liking the book. It's just a cool story about a cool dog.
Yeah, it's amazing. I wish that I could meet Nubs because he sounds absolutely amazing. So basically, this was in, I think this all started in October of, was this 07?
Yeah, that was October 2007 is when I first ran into Nubs.
Okay, so why don't you tell us the first part of this story and what you were doing? I know you were traveling from one place to the next, so why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay, we were, I was the team leader of a 11-man Marine border transition team, which basically entailed us, basically it was three Humvees, a whole lot of communications equipment, a bunch of weapons, and we patrolled around the Syrian border, training the Iraqis in counterinsurgency operations, border security, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we would help them also with these operations. And when we patrolled up there, all along this maybe 100, 150 miles of border that we'd be working, there's wild dogs everywhere. They live in a kind of a pack existence, and we ended up kind of befriending some of them in different areas. We'd go and we'd give them names, and they just kind of helped pass the time, you know. And it was some of our team bonded with some of these dogs out there.
Mm-hmm. And now there was one dog that seemed to single you out.
Yep, there was this one little guy up at the one set of ruins up there. We named him Nubs because his ears had been cut off. He had really no ears, just two tiny nubs for ears, really. And he really bonded with our whole team. He was one of the friendlier dogs. He just came right up to us and. If you see in the book there, some of the pictures, even the one on the back of me petting him, and that's within 5 minutes of meeting him for the first time, he just ran up to us and started playing with us.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
When you say that his ears were cut off because he was a dog of war, do you know more of what that actually means?
Well, it's the Iraqis, some of the Iraqi soldiers are are a little bit abusive of the dogs over there. And this particular dog, one of the Iraqis decided to cut his ears off when he was a puppy to try to make him tougher, to make him, as it was explained to me, as a better fighter. You know, I guess it's not uncommon with people who, as I found out later, the people who breed dogs for fighting and stuff, they do that at times. So it's just, it didn't make much sense to me, but mm-hmm. that's what they did.
And so he was owned by somebody or had a human, and then he somehow found himself more stray and traveling around with this pack of stray / wild dogs?
Well, not exactly. It's probably easier to think of less like a dog, like a stray, less of a stray dog. Their existence out there is more what you think of like a pack of wolves or maybe the way coyotes live. They're wild dogs living in the desert. They're hunting. They have a hierarchy of a pack existence.
Mm-hmm.
And but the Iraqis, the dogs also scavenge much like coyotes do. So the Iraqis kind of tolerate them,
mm-hmm.
let them eat their scraps, let them live around their forts, because it's kind of a mutually beneficial relationship, because the dogs are kind of an early warning system for the guys who work the border forts. They'll
right.
they'll alert them to anyone approaching, and it kind of helps them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the model for how dogs came into existence as a species for people, the most popular theory, that they did exactly that. They kind of cleaned up the scraps and
yep.
were really great alarms for predators or other any sort of enemy that might be a threat. They'd give,
yeah.
you know, sound the alert and all that. So that totally makes sense.
Absolutely.
And so you would travel to, so you travel to the site, you met Nubs, you guys, he kind of hung out with you and stayed with you for your guard duty, and then the next day you had to leave and travel back to your base?
Yep. There, where we operated out of, we'd spend, you know, several days at a time in the field patrolling, but where we, and training the Iraqis, but where we actually operated out of, our kind of forward base of operations, was almost 70 miles to the south of where Nubs and his pack lived. So we would only see Nubs every couple weeks. We'd go up to that area of the border, we'd work for a few days, and then we'd go back down to our forward operating base to clean our equipment, clean our weapons, get geared up for the next mission.
Uh-huh.
So we'd only see Nubs in his pack every couple weeks or so.
Okay. And so the next time you came up, or I guess at the end of December, you came and you found that Nubs had been wounded.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you took care of him as best you could while you were there, and then you had to leave again. And he would chase you guys for, like, about a mile each time, but then,
yeah,
but then stop.
Yep. I think it was maybe the third trip up there is when he was hurt, but the other times when we left there, he'd follow the Humvees. It was pretty funny. He'd run after us and follow us. But this trip, when we got up there in December, he'd been wounded. It was, I heard secondhand, one of the Iraqis, one of the soldiers had stabbed him with a screwdriver. I guess he got mad at him. I really don't understand exactly what happened. I never heard the full story, but he had a very bad wound on his left side, and it was infected. He lost a bunch of weight, and mm-hmm. I mean, he really looked like he was on death's bed a lot. We weren't really sure if he was going to make it through the night, because it got freezing cold that night. It got down about 18 degrees,
mm-hmm.
and the corpsman of my team and I, we kind of cleaned up his wound a little bit the best we could. We gave him some antibiotics, you know, kind of guessing how much to give a dog, and
mm-hmm.
and we figured what could it hurt, you know. We really didn't know if he was going to make it or not, but he ended up making it through that night. We had to leave on patrol the next day. It was kind of hard to leave him behind all beat up like that, but we had a mission. We had bad guys running around out there, and you know, we had other stuff going on, so we mm-hmm. kind of patched him up best we could and left him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that must have been really hard for you guys to leave him.
Yeah.
You know, but you just didn't have a choice, and you're not allowed to, you know, have pets, which makes mm-hmm. sense while you're out there. So,
yeah.
And then 2 weeks later, you came back, and he was there again. and he stayed with you, and you know, you fed him and tried to take care of him again, and he was still he was healing, but still certainly very compromised at that point.
Yeah, he was definitely getting better, but he was still hurt. I mean, the big news is when we went up there, we weren't sure if he was going to still be alive, you know.
Yeah.
And so when we showed up there, it was obvious that he turned the corner and was getting better. He still had the wound. It actually broke one of his ribs, but he was doing a lot better, and we knew at this point he'd be okay. And the team was pretty happy. We're like, okay, he's going to make it.
Yeah.
And once again, we get on to the business at hand up there and working, and a couple days later, we end up leaving and heading south again.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to find out what Nubs did this time when you guys had to leave and go back to your base.
Okay.
It's absolutely, absolutely incredible, and just the beginning of a very incredible journey. So we'll be back in just a few minutes with Major Brian Dennis. And is Nubs right there next to you for this interview? Or
he actually is. He's right next to me hanging out.
Excellent. Well, we'll be back with both of you then in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Smiling at strangers reminds me of my dog. Better let him know you're friendly. The way people dress reminds me too. It's not a favorite tree.
Wellness Natural Food for Pets uses simple, pure, authentic ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. All wellness recipes include lean meats, whole grains, fruits, and veggies with no meat byproducts, no wheat, no corn, no soy, or artificial preservatives. For an exclusive savings offer and to find wellness at a pet specialty retailer near you, visit wellnesspetfood.com/Seattle. That's wellnesspetfood.com/Seattle. Join Wellness on Facebook and Twitter today.
Kemmley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemmley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemmleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of living successfully with your animal friends. This week, we'll cover any follow-up and animals in the news. We'll have current events and a new pet of the week as usual. After that, at this point, it's a surprise. I've got two different shows booked, but so far, no confirmation. So you'll have to tune in to find out what we'll be talking about. So join us for Martha Norwalk's Animal World Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Are you a doctor, dentist, or therapist? Have you ever wished you could take your dog to work with you? Visit HealingAllies.com to find out how you can train your dog to become a clinical therapy dog in your office or clinic. Clinical therapy dogs provide people with joy, affection, and emotional support in healthcare settings. Research shows that therapy animals have positive psychological and physiological effects on clients and patients. Meet your newest staff member, your dog. Visit HealingAllies.com or call 206-406-1455 for more information. That's HealingAllies.com.
Alternative to what? Alternative to everything else out there on the radio. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. We're back with Major Brian Dennis and his dog, his miraculous dog, Nubs. Welcome back to the show, Brian.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So we left off before the break. We were talking about how Nubs had seemed like he had turned a corner from his injury, mm-hmm. and he seemed like he was getting better. But was still certainly compromised, and then you had to leave him again
mm-hmm.
to travel back, 70 miles to your base. And every time that you left, Nubs would follow you for like about a mile, is that right? And then kind of give up and stop?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he usually followed, I mean, that's about what we guessed, but just he'd stay with us and he'd run as long as he could, and then he'd end up kind of falling back behind.
Mm-hmm. And so tell us what happened this time.
Well, this time was unique because we head on back, and once again, he's running after us, and somewhere after falling back, he decided he was going to keep following the Humvees this time. And we, of course, make it back to the base, and we are cleaning our vehicles and doing all our business back at the forward operating base. And about 48 hours later, Nubs showed up. He followed us, found us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he must have tracked this. He must have followed the scent of the Humvees.
Well, that's what everyone asks is, how did he do it? And I don't know if there's a combination of visually tracking the track or the smell, maybe the tires left in the sand. I don't know. I mean, it's pretty amazing. However he did it, it was almost 70 miles, and he found us, and it only took him 2 days to make the trip. So.
Wow. And he was wounded, and it was winter time?
Yeah, it was really cold, snowy, nasty, like the surface of the moon out there in Western Alambar. It's a very inhospitable environment, and he had to cross, we kind of knew the areas that he had to cross to get to us. A lot of the other wild dog packs, they're very territorial, and it was obvious that on the way there, he'd been through several of their territories and had to kind of fight his way through. He was all bit up and was missing one of his teeth when he showed up.
Wow.
His right upper canine was missing. So he was a mess, but it was amazing. When he showed up, our whole team went crazy. I was hanging out inside one of the Iraqi buildings there in the port town where we were just talking some business. And one of my Marines came running inside and was like, "You're not going to believe who's outside by the Humvees." I'm like, I think he's talking about a person. I'm like, "Who?" He says, "Nubs is out there." They say, "Nubs the dog?" And I'm like, "There's no way. It couldn't be." So I go running out there, and sure enough, it's Nubs is out there going crazy.
And what did he do when he saw you?
Oh, he just went crazy. He was jumping up on our whole team. He loved all of our guys. Everyone had kind of adopted him, so he's just, running from guy to guy and jumping up on him and playing with him. And he jumped up on me, and he's just going crazy. It was awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
That must have been absolutely unbelievable for you to be like, "What?"
Yeah, it was very surreal, and just, the biggest question, we're just like, "How in the heck did you get here?" It was just so funny.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's interesting to me is that he clearly made a choice. I mean, he had followed you, a certain amount of distance, maybe a mile or two, several times before that, and then stopped and just kind of gave up. And then there was something that caused him to keep going where he was just like, this is it. I mean, I've got to go. Like, there's just something. It's so curious to me what happened, and trying to even understand how dogs think and experience things. But, he stopped, and then he just decided to keep walking. And
it does seem like he made a choice, I don't know. I've tried to spend a lot of time thinking about it from this perspective, I don't know. I mean, I think part of it is that he never had affection before, never been pet and played with and all this stuff. And that's, one of the things he got from our team, and we fed him and we were always kind to him. And, you just think about that dog's existence out there. Many animals who live in nature, a lot of their life revolves around violence and fighting for existence. And then any encounter he'd had with a human, was usually bad. One guy had cut his ears off, another guy had stabbed him. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he really had no reason. But from the first moment we met him, we were so kind to him, and we played with him, and everyone uh, he got a lot of affection from me and the team, and he got treats all the time. So it seems like he made a conscious decision that I think I'm going to go join this new pack. They're pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Not being left behind this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you said that your guys' best guess is that Nubs is probably about 5 years old now?
Yeah, that's what some vets have told me. Some vets, it's kind of a guess at best, you know, they're just not really exactly sure, but they're like, yeah, looking at his teeth, looking at his face, you know, he looks like he's probably five, 6 years old or something.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any guesses as far as what his breed mix is?
It's hard to say. I mean, all the dogs out there are all, you know, crossbreeding. I mean, there are true mutts by the definition of the word. They also, some of them have mixed with some of the wolves out there, and there's some hybrids out there. What he looks like a small version. He looks like a 40-pound version of a German Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of being tan and black, he's more kind of silverish and gray.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the problem with that theory is that there's just, you know, talking to some people, there's no real German Shepherds who are indigenous to that area. Or, you know, I guess it's possible that maybe a military dog at one point could have escaped and interbreeded. I'm not enough of a scientist to understand how it happened. But if you wanted to pick a dog he most closely resembles, it's maybe a small gray version of a German Shepherd is kind of what he looks like.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm looking at him right now. He definitely looks shepherd-like.
Yeah,
but you just
if you can imagine. If you kind of project the lines of his ears, like where they'd go up naturally, you know, they'd kind of look like kind of pointy German Shepherd ears, I think. So.
Yeah.
And then some people have kind of told me, well, you can do this DNA testing and figure out what he is. And it's just, I just tell him, I really don't care what he is. You know, he's Nubs. You know, he's his own.
Yeah.
He's his own special little guy. So I'm really not that concerned. He's just, he's very unique and he's got a very unique personality. Just the coolest dog. Just really, really, really cool dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a breed DNA test done on one of my dogs who I had to put down 3 months ago, and I always thought that he was a Shepherd mix mm-hmm. for 12 years, and it turns out he was a Lab Saluki mix.
No kidding.
And if you look at the pictures of the two breeds and put them together, you can totally see it, but
mm-hmm.
when you just sort of look at them at first glance, it's like, oh, definitely Shepherd. I mean, it looks German Shepherd, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, so it was pretty interesting, but I was definitely like you. Like, I didn't really care what his breeds were because he just was who he was to me, but
yeah,
it was pretty interesting. I was kind of pretty shocked, actually.
Yeah.
12 years of relating to him as a Shepherd mix and then found out he wasn't. So
almost like the Maury Povich, you know, reveal, you know, who's your daddy?
Right. not quite as dramatic as that, but so you guys got reported. Once Nubs, I mean, for nothing that you had chosen to do, Nubs was the one who followed you to where you were.
Yep.
And, you know, you guys built him a little doghouse, and he was hanging out there with you guys. And then you got reported, and then somebody had said that you had to get rid of him.
Yeah, basically the camp kind of adopted him. We probably had 80 or so guys out there, soldiers, Marines, who lived at this forward operating base or combat outpost that they call them. And everyone kind of adopted him. Almost everyone loved him right away. Some guys made him a doghouse, painted Nubs on it within the first day or two he was there. He just kind of trotted around. People fed him, and he definitely seemed to raise spirits. Everyone just kind of enjoyed him. You know, he became everyone's little buddy. And except for a couple people. There was a couple people who were very vocal about it being against the rules and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
We were kind of looking the other way because we're just like, you know, it's kind of extenuating circumstances. I mean, he found his own way here, and we're in the middle of nowhere, literally. We're in the most probably obscure outpost out in El Anbar, and we're just like, you know, I guess we were just kind of looking the other way, but a couple of guys were very vocal about that he had to go. So mm-hmm. They basically told on us eventually. They told our higher headquarters that we were harboring this fugitive Iraqi dog, and our higher headquarters called down and told us that we had to get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what are you going to do with him? you know, because he's just going to...
That was our choice. We sat down as a team and talked about it. We're like, well, you know, what are we going to do with him? I mean, we're not going to, you know, we talked about taking him back to the old ruins where he lived. But we knew he could probably find us again. And it was pretty quick. We're just like, you know, we're going to figure out how to get this guy to America.
Yeah.
And that became our new mission, like how to rescue Nubs. And it's kind of interesting. A lot of people want to vilify the guys, like, you know, who are these jerks, you know, don't they like dogs and what have you. But, you know, without them, Nubs wouldn't be in America right now, because Nubs, the way I envisioned it was that he would stay at the camp, and the next group of Marines who came in to relieve us, we'd turn him over to them, and his job would just be to kind of lift spirits at the camp and be the camp dog. But these guys, you know, it was a blessing in disguise that they told on us, because then we decided to evacuate him to America.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely brings up, you know, beliefs of fate and things like that, because, I mean, the whole thing is like you just really had to take leap of faith after leap of faith, you know, from start to finish. And so it really, you know, in retrospect, it was just part of his journey. And I can definitely see where you could look at it as being thankful, because, as you said, it wouldn't have gotten him to where he is now. So we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we'll talk about this next part of Nubs' journey from the Middle East to San Diego. So we'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show and Brian Dennis and Nubs. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. So I love my dog as much as I love you. But you make the fame. My dog will always come through.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034. Or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
Wellness Natural Food for Pets uses simple, pure, authentic ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. All wellness recipes include lean meats, whole grains, fruits, and veggies with no meat byproducts, no wheat, no corn, no soy, or artificial preservatives. For an exclusive savings offer and to find Wellness at a pet specialty retailer near you, visit wellnesspetfood.com/Seattle. That's wellnesspetfood.com/Seattle. Join Wellness on Facebook and Twitter today.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, now on Thursdays at 1 p.m. I take your calls and talk with your animal companions about anything you'd like to know from them. You can also talk with your loved ones, both human and animals, on the other side. Tune in to Talk With Your Animals Thursdays at 1 with me, Joy Turner. Thanks for listening.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Proud to bring variety to your radio dial. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
You make a fade. My dog will always come through.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. We are brought to you in part by Wellness Pet Food. And we're back with Major Brian Dennis and his dog, Nubs. Welcome back, Brian.
Thank you for having me.
So let's hear the rest of the story now, because it got you got to the point where you had to get rid of Nubs, So what were you going to do with him? And so he started another part of his journey to, you decided to try to get him back to the States.
Yeah, so the journey back to the States was my interpreter, one of my interpreters for my team was from Jordan. He's a Jordanian, and his brother lived in Jordan, and that's kind of the strategy we went to get him home. We figured if we could get him across the border of Jordan, that we could ship him back to the States from there. So that's kind of the route we went, and it basically it just entailed jumping through a lot of hoops, a lot of red tape. The Jordanian government for us kind of working with the Ministry of Health and all this, and obviously all the documents come in Arabic, and my interpreter has to translate them for me, and then we fill them out, and then he translates them back. It was relatively complicated, but we ended up getting it done. It wasn't too bad. And then, obviously, it was it cost a little bit of money to do this, almost $5,000 at the end of the day to complete everything, yeah.
An expensive mutt.
It was, but a lot of friends back home kind of mobilized and started some grassroots, like Save the Nubs funds at work and whatnot. And there's no shortage of dog lovers out there who love to be involved with something like this. So it was very easy to raise the money to save Nubs.
Yeah. So you got things sort of organized, and then you let him go.
Yep. Basically, we end up coordinating with the Jordanians and do a kind of exchange at the border one day. We hand him off to my interpreter's brother and the Jordanian officials, and off he goes.
Yeah. And, gosh, that must have been so hard, and, just praying that he would make it safely to where he needed to go, because there were quite a few phases of the trip. He went and stayed with the King of Jordan or something like that, or his kennel?
Yeah, he stayed at the King of Jordan's kennels, is where he stayed for 2 weeks and got his shots and got all sort of documentation that he was had all his rabies shots and vaccinations and what have you. And then about how long it took to coordinate the flight for him, and he ended up getting on a plane and flying to Chicago from Amman, Jordan to Chicago, about a 10-hour flight, which must have been kind of traumatic for him.
And then from there he went to San Diego, and you had some people, keeping him for you, and then people who met him in San Diego and then kept him for you until you got back. And how long was that?
It was about, I was about a month behind him.
Okay.
Yeah. We had our own reunion when I get back.
And so tell me about, there's some pictures of it, and there's this first picture of him. He's got this look on his, looks like he's really anticipating something. And tell me what that was like to be reunited with him in the U.S.
Yeah, I think the picture you're talking about is out of the book. It's like he's really focused on something. And actually that's actually him spotting me walking up when I just showed back up to Camp Pendleton there.
Yeah.
And then obviously there's the follow-on pictures of him kind of jumping up and licking me. But it was there's actually a moment he's looking at me, and then he walks up, and it takes him about 5 seconds to figure out who I am, and then he just goes crazy and starts jumping on me and licking me, and it was really, really cool. And I had some great friends back home who took really good care of him and helped kind of socialize him to life back here in San Diego. He's got it pretty good these days, I'd say.
Yeah. Now, did he have any, I know it says that he worked with a trainer and went to school and that kind of thing. Did he have any behavioral issues that he had to kind of get through, or, what
Absolutely.
Was that like?
Yeah, I mean, he's a wild dog, and he definitely, it's taken a lot of socialization. It's a work in progress still, I continue to take him to the dog park and take him to meet people, but if you've seen him, if you've seen him in any media or anything, he's pretty well adjusted. He does amazingly well for what he's been through, but it's just, it definitely is work. A good friend of mine, his name is Graham, he's in the, Graham Bloom is in the book. Him and the folks down at Snug Pet Resort in San Diego were very instrumental in just providing free training for him. They wanted to be involved with the story and wanted to help him. They were very kind, and they helped train him. They spent a lot of time just socializing him and helping him to get along with other dogs and helping him get over it. Like, he had strange fears. Like, he hated I guess there's some dogs like this, but he hates any hard floors, hardwood floors or tile floors or or marble floors at all. It just terrifies him. He doesn't want to walk on them, but just continuing to work him through it with treats and stuff. He's fine now, you know.
Mm-hmm. Any other, you know, behavioral quirks or anything like that that you guys had to work him through?
You just got to watch him. He meets certain people and he really, really likes them.
Yeah.
He meets other people and he shies away from them.
Yeah.
For some reason, the trend seems to be that he gravitates towards men more than women. For some reason, he's a little more nervous around women.
Huh.
I guess we all are, right? But no, he's just, it seems that he's, and I really don't understand why. It's just, but some people he really likes, and it's just, like I said, I don't kind of look at it as like his training's done, he's complete. We just try to keep working with him, you know.
Yeah.
Making his life better and making him comfortable and happy, and that's kind of the mission, is just to make sure that he's, you know, after all he's been through, that he's got a good, happy life. I try not to make every day like boot camp for him, you know. We definitely train him, but
yeah,
definitely make sure he's got he has a pretty good life. I take him out running on the trail,
yeah,
take him to the beach, take him to the dog park. He's doing pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I know you only have a couple more minutes, but I wanted to tell you about an organization that I'm on the board of directors for and my partner's the vice president of, called Service for Service. Sure. And they train mental health service dogs with combat veterans that suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. And
okay.
It's a pilot program in Washington State, and I think there's only been a few programs that have sort of tried to do this. And so they're using shelter dogs or dogs that need a home. And, there's certain tasks and things that they can do as a mental health service dog to help ease, you know, some of the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder, really providing comfort and ease for veterans, coming back, the men and women coming back from the war who suffer from that. And it's just, you know, when you tell me about the effect that Nubs had when he was, you know, at your base and kind of what he did brought, I would imagine, just a lightness and some humor and some comfort to you guys out there. And so I just kind of thought of, you know, how they do that for veterans here as well. So it's the organization's called Service for Service, and it's still in the beginning stages of it, but I think the website will be serviceforservice.org. So
that sounds like a great program, and I can totally see how that program would work. I mean, there's just no doubt. There's no doubt that dogs can be therapeutic and help heal. And what a great program if you can you know help some animals looking for work or home or a better place, and combine them with some people who need some help too. That's just amazing. That's great.
Yeah. So you had said that you're going to be going back next year, I think in October?
Yeah, if things stay the way they're scheduled, probably October or so next year, I'll be heading over to Afghanistan or what it looked like.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. You have someone lined up for Nubs care while you're gone?
Yeah, I've got really good friends who received him the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Good friends Eric and Chrissy have a dog that is like his best friend named Kublai.
Yeah.
And he loves it over there, so yeah, so it'll be perfect.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, it's been wonderful seeing you all over the place. You were on Conan O'Brien and the Today Show, and that must just be such a trip, you and Nubs.
Oh, absolutely. It's been overwhelming. I mean, it just shows me that we really are a nation of dog lovers, you know, and animal lovers in general. There's just so many out there, and I guess that's why there's been interest in the story. I always say that I didn't really do anything that special. I did what any dog lover would have done. I guarantee you would have done exactly what I did, patched up a hurt dog, and then he came and found you, so you figure out a way to find, you know what I mean? But what's amazing is what Nubs did. You know, that's what everyone should focus on is just that. Is this just shows how loyal dogs are, and I think the central theme in the book is that if you do something kind for someone, that they just don't forget you. I think I hope that's what translates to kids or dog lovers who read the book, is just that just be kind, and people never forget that.
Yeah,
so be kind, they'll be loyal always.
And for Nubs too, I mean, just a lesson in forgiveness and staying open, given what he had been through with people, and that he was still open to. you know, to receiving the love and affection that came from you guys over there and then continuing through his journey here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, give him a special pat for me. I can only imagine what an extraordinary dog he is, and I just love that he's with you and, you know, just enjoy every day. It's just,
well, he is special, and if you don't mind me taking just a moment to wish all the veterans out there a happy Veterans Day, and yesterday was also the Marine Corps birthday, so kind of a special couple days for us in the military.
Yeah.
And the authors who helped me, Mary Nethery and Kirby Larson, I couldn't have told this story without them. So two amazing ladies that kind of found the story and really helped me tell it to children. So.
Yeah, well, that's great.
Great.
Well, thanks so much for both of you for being on the show. Nub's there in spirit. And just have a great rest of your day. It was wonderful talking to you.
Well, thanks. If you want to see some more pictures of Nubs, there's also a website, thestoryofnubs.com. Thestoryofnubs.com has all kinds of great pictures and media links for them, too, if anyone wants to look at it.
Thestoryofnubs.com.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Okay.
Well,
excellent.
Thanks again for having me. It was great.
Yes. Thanks so. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Seems like we should probably get a link of that up on the Dog Talk Show website.
Oh, yeah. I have to check that out. So Nubs is spelled N-U-B-S, thestoryofnubs.com. And how I became aware of this is through their book that Brian just mentioned, which is called Nubs, The True Story of a Mutt, a Marine, and a Miracle. And we actually... when we come back from break, we have some copies of that book to give away, as always. So we're going to take our last break. And when we come back, I will prompt you to give us a call. And we have a few copies of that book to give away. So stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
And they called it puppy love. Oh, I guess they'll never know.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Are you a doctor, dentist, or therapist? Have you ever wished you could take your dog to work with you? Visit HealingAllies.com to find out how you can train your dog to become a clinical therapy dog in your office or clinic. Clinical therapy dogs provide people with joy, affection, and emotional support in healthcare settings. Research shows that therapy animals have positive psychological and physiological effects on clients and patients. Meet your newest staff member, your dog. Visit HealingAllies.com or call 206-406-1455 for more information. That's HealingAllies.com.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034. Or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
Does work feel like a puzzle and you don't know where all the pieces are, or you have all the pieces, but you don't know what the picture should look like? Then join me, Denise Rubin, 30-year vet in human resources. I've sat in the boardroom and in the executive offices, and I'll share with you the trials and tribulations of the workplace and how together we can solve the workplace puzzle one piece at a time. Tune in to Work Does Matter, Fridays from 1 to 2 in the afternoon on Alternative Talk 1150. Visit my website at workdoesmatter.com.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Get current weather, traffic, and news. Visit 1150kknw.com and stay informed with Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. And we have been talking with Major Brian Dennis and his dog, Nubs, and his absolutely incredible story of how he found this dog, or this dog found him in Iraq. And
we didn't actually get to speak to Nubs himself, but he was standing by during the conversation.
He was right next to him.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at a picture of him. So, and it's just absolutely incredible. It so blows me away. And just with how everything had to fall into place the way that it did.
Yeah.
It just feels like
kismet.
Fate.
There you go. Same thing.
And, you know, just beating the odds and even making that journey and surviving it and then getting to through to Jordan and then getting to the States and then getting reunited. And
it sounds like Nubs is a pretty good judge of character, too, a pretty good judge of people, because, you know, he just latched on to probably the nicest guy in that bunch. I mean, I don't know them, obviously, but it seems like he was a really nice guy. And it really seems like Nubs was able to just kind of zone in on who would really go out of his way to help him out.
He's so smart. He said, I think when we were talking off air, Brian said that he bonded particularly with Brian, but that he really bonded with everybody out there, and most of the people there were just so thrilled to have him there. And
I bet if you're out there in the middle of nowhere, and it's got to be kind of frightening, but also kind of monotonous, you know, to have like the comfort of a dog just being around, or even just the distraction of a dog being around, it's got to be nice, actually.
I can totally get that. I can only imagine. I can't really imagine what it would be like to be out there in that environment and then to have a dog around. I mean, we do that here where we bring dogs into environments, you know, into hospitals and just what they do for our spirit, and to think of, you know, what he contributed over there, and then, you know, him just making the journey out here and it's just so awesome. So we have some books to give away of this. Nubs, The True Story of a Mutt, a Marine, and a Miracle. And it's sort of in the format of a children's book. Really, really, lots of really great pictures. And it does tell the story of their journey together. So give us a call if you would like to receive one of those books. We have a few copies to give away to the first few callers. And if you'd like to come on air and comment, or if you saw them on any of the shows, would love to hear from you too on air, but you don't have to come on air. Just give us a call, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527, or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569.
Well, it is really nice that something kind of heartwarming can come out of the Iraqi war experience, which is, you know, we hear about it in the news all the time, and a very bleak conversation usually taking place of what's happening over there. And so it's really nice to actually get a kernel of hope here and there, you know, something like this, you know, something heartwarming like that. It's very nice.
Yeah. So we have We have a caller on line one. We have Lainey in Milton. Hi, Lainey.
Hi.
So you're calling in for a free book about the story of Nubs?
Yep. I like the story so far. It's really good.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how he followed them for like 70 miles in the winter.
It's a long ways.
It is a long ways. It is. It's a great book. You're going to love it. And have you listened to the show before?
We were a second ago.
You were. So did you get to hear most of the story?
Yeah.
Well, did you have any questions for me, or were you just calling in to say hi and get a copy of the book?
It's to say hi and get a copy of the book.
Well, that's great. Thanks so much for calling in, and we will get a copy of that book out to you this week.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Lainey.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
And this does, you know, seem like this would appeal very well to children. But like Brian was pointing out, to any dog lover would love this book.
Absolutely, so. It's amazing. I mean, this is a very, very powerful story, and I have a couple copies of it. This copy here that's not quite finished, and then a finished copy. So we've got a few copies of that book to give away. A few more copies of that book. So feel free to give us a call, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527, or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569.
You know, we should have asked if we could have got those pottographed by Nubs himself.
Yes. Stamped.
Nice.
Well,
yes.
This looks like there is actually a paw print.
It's he did
digital,
pottograph.
But he did, yep, the stamp of approval.
Very good.
Yeah. I'm just so curious as a trainer, you know, working with dogs behaviorally, that just, there's so many parts of it that blow me away, but that he just was able to adjust, and it's just so impressive how dogs can just be so adaptable to whatever the environment
is.
He's used
to a Iraqi wild dog customs.
Another
not
world,
domestic
really.
California customs,
yeah.
So.
And really another world.
Yeah.
So, so give us a call if you want a copy of that book, 425-373-5527. We'll send you out a copy. And this week, I've been doing the dog dedication songs. I didn't do it last week, but I've been doing it for the past several weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would like me to dedicate a song at the end of the show to your dog, either a past dog that you have or a dog that you currently have, it might be a song that your dog likes to sing along to, or maybe a song that means something to you for your dog, or you just want me to dedicate a song that I choose.
Or like the song we played earlier in the hour, everything reminds me of my dog. So that means there's going to be some songs out there that remind you of your dog.
Absolutely. You can email me at host@dogtalkshow.com, and I'd be happy to dedicate a song to your dog on air. And you can either tell me what song, or I'll choose a song for you, Delilah style. This show is dedicated, in addition to the song, is dedicated to Tink, who was my mom's dog, who just last weekend passed away. So a couple losses in my family over the past 3 months. I had to put my dog Chewy down 3 months ago today, actually. And then my mom's dog, Tink, lived a very long life. She was 16, and she was just ready to go. So she passed away last week, and so I've got a song dedicated to her today that reminds me of her that we used to sing to her. So that will be the song that's played as we exit the show today. Wanted to let you guys know, if you've missed any shows, they are all archived online. The website is www.dogtalkshow.com. If you go to the podcast page, all of the shows, the past shows, will pop up. I think we've had 36 shows by now, and just lots of really great interviews. Last week we had on Dr. Michael Fox, who is the co-author of a book called Not Fit for a Dog, The Truth About Manufactured Dog and Cat Food. One of my favorite interviews, just loaded with information, important information, especially if your dog has any sort of dietary issues or if you've ever had your dog on a prescription diet. Certainly a show that you do not want to miss. And that was last week's show. So go to the Dog Talk Show website, which is www.dogtalkshow.com. We also do still have some advertising space available on the show. So if you're interested in getting some information about that, how you can advertise your business on the show, you can email me at host@dogtalkshow.com. And I can send you some information about that. And we also have car stickers with our logo. And if you'd like me to mail you a car sticker, we'll do that too, host@dogtalkshow.com. So that is it for this week. Next week we have on Stanley Coren, author of The Modern Dog. And again, this song is dedicated to Tink. Have a great week.